We begin the Warren County Radio Bible School today with a Bible question. When Samuel became judge, the children of Israel were under threat from the Philistines, and Samuel gathered them all together at Mizpah. Now, he told them they needed to put away their foreign gods. Can you remember what these foreign gods are called? What their names were? We're going to read that out of our text in just a moment. In 1 Samuel chapter 7 and verse 4. But see if you remember what the names of those foreign gods were. There were two of them. And we'll discuss them in just a moment. The Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. And now the Bible question. When Samuel told Israel to put away the gods that they had served, the foreign gods that they were serving, there were two of them named. Do you know who they were? Let me read that to you out of the text. 1 Samuel chapter 7, verses 3 and 4. And Samuel spake unto all the house of Israel, saying, If you do return unto Jehovah with all your heart, then put away the foreign gods and the Ashtaroth from among you, and direct your hearts unto Jehovah and serve him only, and he will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines. Then the children of Israel put away the Balaam and the Ashtaroth, and served Jehovah only. Those two gods are identified as the Balaam and Ashtaroth. Now, let me read this to you out of Elam's notes. Now, these are notes he prepared for a Sunday school, the Sunday schools of December the 19th, 1926. And here's what he had to say. We have learned that the Balaam is plural and embraces their male gods, and Ashtaroth is plural and embraces their goddesses. Today, people must love God supremely and set their affections upon things above and not on things of the earth. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 3 says, If then you were raised together with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated on the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above and not on things that are upon the earth. For ye died, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall be manifested, then shall ye also with him be manifested in glory. God is ever ready to bless when people repent and put away their sins and return to him. Now the assembly was at Mizpah. We read in Samuel chapter 7 verses 5 and 6. And Samuel said, Gather all Israel to Mizpah, and I will pray for you unto Jehovah. And they gathered together to Mizpah and drew water and poured it out before Jehovah and fasted on that day and said there, We have sinned against Jehovah. And Samuel judged the children of Israel in Mizpah. Gather all to Mizpah. The purpose for this assembling of Israel are expressed in this verse and in the next one, that Samuel might pray for them, that they might worship God, and that Samuel might judge them. The supplication of a righteous man availeth much in its working, James 5 and verse 16. Samuel was a man of prayer. When Israel did wrong, Samuel took it to God in prayer. He is classed with Moses and an interceder for the people. Moses, Elijah, Ezra, Samuel, and other such men are examples of prayerful men. The greatest of all is Jesus, who prayed much on earth and who now lives in heaven to make intercession for us, Hebrews 7:25. The children of Israel drew water and poured it out before Jehovah. This seems to represent their penitence, in fact, that their hearts were poured out to God like water. Hannah had poured out her soul before Jehovah in 1 Samuel 1:15. David would say, I am poured out like water, Psalm 22:14, and pour out your heart before him, Psalm 62 and verse 8. And we read in the book of Lamentations, pour out thine heart like water before the face of the Lord. It also says they fasted on that day. In their deep penitence and intense desire to learn God's will, they would not eat. They did not burden themselves with food, that their minds might be clear to act. Their fasting was an expression of their sorrow for sin. They had something before them vastly more important than eating. They said, we have sinned against Jehovah. When people truly repent, they are not afraid or ashamed to confess their sins. They are ashamed of their sins, but they're not ashamed to confess them. The people whom John the Baptist baptized confessed their sins. The prodigal son confessed his sins. We're all exhorted to confess our sins to one another and pray for one another that we might be healed, James 5 and verse 16. This gathering together at Mizpah, this pouring out of water, this fasting, and this confessing of their sins show that they had repented. And Samuel judged the children of Israel in Mizpah. He heard their troubles, righted their wrongs, and taught them how to turn to God that they might deliver them from their enemies. And this had an effect upon the Philistines. In 1 Samuel 7, verses 7 and 8 we read, and when the Philistines heard that the children of Israel were gathered together in Mizpah, the lords of the Philistines went up against Israel. And when the children of Israel heard it, they were afraid of the Philistines. And the children of Israel said unto Samuel, cease not to cry unto Jehovah our God for us, that he will save us out of the hand of the Philistines. We learn from 1 Samuel 6:17 and 18 that there were five lords of the Philistines. They took this assembly at Mizpah as a sign of revolt and war and went up against Israel intending to nip this rebellion in the bud. It has been said truly that activity on the part of God's people arouses opposition, and it does so today. The Israelites were afraid, but they did not run. 40 years of oppression and sin had weakened their courage and faith. Yet they had enough to stand their ground and to ask Samuel to pray for them. They believed God would hear Samuel. When one's weakness causes him to depend upon God, then in his weakness he is strong. Now that is the end of page 354 in my little old Sunday school book. But there's a page missing, and so I'm not going to be able to complete this lesson. It's page 355 and 356. And so I'm going to have to skip that part, and that's what happens when you have old books like this. In fact, this very last page in this book is just sitting here. It's not actually attached in the book, but it's in its proper place. This is page 357. And this is a review lesson. It's a review of what we have been studying about the early great leaders of the nation of Israel, from Moses to Samuel. The golden text is Psalm 85 and verse 9. Surely his salvation is nigh to them that fear him, that glory may dwell in our land. And the devotional reading is the 85th Psalm. I'm going to read that for you now. It has this inscription: For the chief musician, a psalm of the sons of Korah. Jehovah, thou hast been favorable unto thy land. Thou hast brought back the captivity of Jacob. Thou hast forgiven the iniquity of thy people. Thou hast covered all their sin. Selah. Thou hast taken away all thy wrath. Thou hast turned thyself from the fierceness of thine anger. Turn us, O God of our salvation, and cause thine indignation toward us to cease. Wilt thou be angry with us forever? Wilt thou draw out thine anger to all generations? Wilt thou not quicken us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? Show us thy loving kindness, O Jehovah, and grant us thy salvation. I will hear what Jehovah will speak, for he will speak peace to his people and to his saints. But let them not turn again the folly. Surely his salvation is nigh them that fear him, that glory may dwell in our land. Mercy and truth are meet together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Truth springeth out of the earth, and righteousness hath looked down on from heaven. Yea, Jehovah will give that which is good, and our land shall yield its increase. Righteousness shall go before him, and shall make his footsteps a way to walk in. This review says, Moses to Samuel. But much of the work of Moses as a leader was studied in the third quarter. Much of this quarter is devoted to Joshua, Caleb, Gideon, and Samuel. These characters are embraced in the list of the faithful men who accomplished much by faith in Hebrews 11. There can be nothing more encouraging than the study of such heroic and sublime characters. This review brings us to the close of another year's work. Have we been faithful? Can the great judge of all say, Well done, good and faithful servant? Some year, we know not which, will be our last year's work on earth, and whether or not we have done our work well, we will have to meet it in the judgment. It behooves us to do it well day by day. This is the only way we can meet with God's approval. It is true that we can repent and be forgiven, but this is part of the work we must do in order to receive His praise. Now that ends the Sunday School lesson for December the 26th, 1926, the last Sunday in that year. And at the very end of this little Sunday School book, there is this poem. Farewell, O year, with goodness crowned. A hand divine hath set thy bound. Welcome, new year, which shall bring fresh blessings from our God and King. The old we leave without a tear. The new we hail without a fear. And with that, I close the last cover of this book, Sunday School Lessons, for the Sunday Schools of 1926. And I'm thinking how many years this book had sat on my shelf, unread and unprofitable, just sitting there. And I've often wondered how I could put these old Sunday School lessons to use. The Warren County Radio Bible School has given me the opportunity to take that book from the shelf and give it life again, at least for a brief time. And now I'm going to return it to my shelf, where no doubt it will sit silent for many more years, maybe never to speak again, but hopefully someone will take it up and read it. And as I do, I pull another book from the shelf. This is Elam's Notes on Bible School Lessons for 1927. This is the next year, and we'll be looking at these lessons as we proceed in this Radio Bible School.